Welcome to episode 12 of Breaking Español. Hola, chicos. Welcome back. We're your hosts, Jenny and Ben, sharing our language learning journey with you week by week. Today, we're sharing our trip down to Valle de Guadalupe. Now, Valle de Guadalupe is located about an hour and a half from the Mexican-California border in Baja California, Mexico, just east of Ensenada. It is the hotspot for wine and food right now. There are 110 wineries, some still family-owned, many offering accommodations and restaurants right on property. The region's dry and sunny climate also makes it a great spot for olive groves and olive oil production. The food is something really special, though, with some talented chefs making the move down to create some pretty epic menus. It is definitely worth the drive down, which in itself is miles of beautiful, undeveloped coastline. In August, they celebrate a wine harvest fiesta called Fiestas de la Vendimia. So it can get pretty busy during this since they host a lot of events throughout the entire month. We went down there for the first time this past weekend to celebrate our anniversary. We have a tradition of wine tasting on our anniversaries, and this has been somewhere we were pretty excited to check out. And from our house, it's just like from crossing the border and hitting the first vineyard, we were there in 2 hours, so not bad at all. We just got away for an overnight, my first one away from Jack. He did great. I did okay. We really enjoyed the drive down. It's fun going through the little beach towns and seeing the whole coastline. I was pretty impressed and blown away by how undeveloped a lot of it is. And, you know, this would be a good time to invite Ben in because he was the one who drove down. So, Ben, how did you kind of think the driving and navigating through until we got to Valle was?
Yeah, the drive down wasn't bad. You know, we took the toll road, which costs $1.75 each time you hit the toll stop, but it's really well maintained. Inside of Tijuana, just right after you cross the border, it's a bit hectic. People are kind of offensive drivers, if you will. They just kind of go in front of you.
They're crazy drivers.
I don't know if it's crazy. You know, I've heard really insane stories about like Malaysia and places like that.
That's true.
You know, I mean, if you're used to driving here in a big city in the United States, you're fine there. Just if you're stalling or indecisive at all, people are just going to go. They're just going to get in front of you and cut you off, and they do not care because that's just how they roll there. But that's just kind of the border, right? Once you start heading south and you get past that first toll road, that toll checkpoint, you start getting into Baja and more the southern or, you know, further away. The further away from the border, the easier the traffic is. So the toll road is great. The road is really well maintained. There are some sketchy spots where you're up on a cliff. As you get closer to Ensenada.
That was right where, like, we kind of turned the corner and it was this amazing view, like beautiful,
unreal.
But then you also get a little, which I'm not usually scared of heights, but it was just enough to be like,
well,
you drive really
slow. You feel like you're just along the beach, you know, for most of it. That's another thing too, the drive is really beautiful because you're along the coast the whole time and it's a really undeveloped coastline. I still don't understand why, but as you get down you don't realize it, and all of a sudden you hit this corner and you're, I don't know, 1,000 feet up in the air. You are on top of a mountain.
Right. And one of our friends was telling us that it had fallen in, the road had fallen in, and they rebuilt it, and then it fell in again. Mm-hmm. And they rebuilt it again, and then they put up this huge guardrail, and
yeah,
they literally rebuilt it like 2 or 3 times.
You know, it sounds like Mexico, right? It's right. Kind of like, hey, yeah, we built a road. Cool. And then it like falls apart like, oh, crap, we'll just build it again. And eventually they're like, all right, we need to get like an architect and an engineer here figure out what's going on, because this isn't just a normal road that we build.
Right. And getting down there is quick because obviously going through the border to Mexico, there's nothing. Like
there's no wait.
You drive right in. They are like,
sometimes I guess
arms.
There is, but I've never experienced a wait.
Maybe,
we went down
maybe
lots of different times.
Yeah, we haven't had any wait ever. So and this trip, because we were just going to go for overnight, so we just decided to jet past everything and get straight to Valle. So we just made it all the way down there. And there's that little town that I really want to go back in. What is it? Popola?
Uh-huh.
Popola.
Popola?
Popola. Yeah, probably Popola. It's P-O-T.
Oh, okay.
P-O-P-L-A. Mm-hmm. Popola.
Popola.
Yeah. It's this little town. It's past Puerto Nuevo, just south of Rosarito. And it's where Titanic was filmed. So Titanic bought up a bunch of space and they made Baja Studios down there. And obviously with all the years in between, it's changed a little bit, but they made this whole town around it. And it's really good for lobster, which I know you don't really like lobster, but
you know, I would love to go back. I didn't like oysters either, but we'll talk about that later.
I don't. Did you think navigating through Vaia was pretty easy?
No. Well, okay.
I mean, so, definitely don't take a car down there that you're worried about driving on bumpy, dirt, potholed roads.
Well, there's a lot of dirt roads, and there's not a lot of signs. So,
I felt like there was, though, because a lot of the vineyards had signs.
Yeah, but you don't know what road it is or anything like that.
The maps are pretty good, though. I will say, you know, planning the trip beforehand on the internet, it's kind of tough just because if you don't, I mean, luckily our Spanish came in handy. We even got, I think you had talked about that last week a couple of weeks ago when you had to call and do some accommodations down there.
Yeah.
So if you do know some Spanish or you can call, dial another country, you can ask some questions, but there's not a lot of information about what time places open and stuff like that. There are a couple apps, which I'll include in the show notes. And
awesome, yeah.
I felt like I might even link to that map we used because a friend that had gone down there before said, once you have a map, like it's pretty easy to find everything once you kind of know.
There's only a few roads.
Well, there's one main road that's called Ruta del Vino, which is...
But so my tips for this, because I think we had mixed experiences, but first off, if you have a cell phone plan that will allow you to travel to a different country, like I know T-Mobile has that and a few others, or you can like add that service for the day, do that because there is cell service down there. And if that works for you and it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg, you can pull up Google Maps and actually see where the roads are. And if you do it beforehand, so this is what I did, is I actually went and starred and saved on Google Maps all the vineyards that we kind of looked up. Yeah. You know, I didn't do a great job
of it. Even if we didn't plan on going to them, you at least saved at least 10 of them.
What happens is you can save them. And what I mean by that is once you search for them and find them, you click the star next to them. And then you can go onto your phone and say offline areas in Google Maps and download that area. So it won't have like search when you're offline, but you will be able to see where you are on the map and see where the vineyard is. So you could navigate to it if you had already saved it. Remember, we had this where we were trying to search for stuff and we were offline. And as long as I had already looked it up and saved it, it was fine. But if it was somewhere new...
It was somewhere new. We didn't know or you just kind of had a guess.
Well,
but...
I was dumb and I didn't turn on the roaming data, which I had paid for. But that's another story.
It was 7 o'clock when you figured that out. 7 p.m. when you figured that out.
Yeah, we got
out.
Back to where we were staying. Like, oh, that's how.
Yeah, I know. I didn't do it. I think I didn't do it more for.
But that's a totally viable.
I know, but
way. Yeah,
for
it works.
Me, I know I would have like checked the baby monitor like 10 times.
Oh
so
yeah,
I
yeah.
decided.
No, you know, going offline
I kinda
is great.
Like going offline,
and that's kind of my point is that you can go offline, but still have Google Maps available
if you
follow those tips. So
yeah, it's kind of nice going offline too. Other than you know our Instagram's silent, so you didn't really get to see our trip as much of it. But
no live Facebook from Valle.
No live Facebook. But I think the vineyards down there are incredible. I mean, I'm not a huge wino. Like, I don't know everything, but I thoroughly enjoy wine tasting, and we've made it a tradition for a while going to, you know, we've been to Sonoma, and we have a vineyard really close by. We've been through
Temecula.
Paso Robles was one of my favorites. Yeah. And so I was blown away. I guess I didn't know there was 110 vineyards down there. I mean, I'd heard about it. I definitely thought it was going to be very small in Mexico and rugged, and it has that undeveloped feel, but at the same time, not. Like,
you know, it feels very different than Tijuana to me.
Oh, my gosh.
Just even Ensenada, too, which we didn't really spend a ton of time in, but we kind of
right, Ensenada's
did a
big city. It's a port town. It's
But like, when you get down that far, it definitely, there's a different vibe and a different feel than when you're at the border.
Totally.
And it just seems more relaxed.
Well, and we, you know, I think... even some of the beach towns, like we'll at the end we'll tell you where we ended up staying, but there are some I wrote down that I would love to look into that are just smaller and more mellow, which don't get as many of the visitors, and I think those are just kind of those undiscovered places that are fun
There's so many.
yeah,
It's
and worth checking
so
out.
vast.
And the vineyards, I mean, if you Google Valle de Guadalupe, there are New York Times write-ups, there's Wall Street Journal even has done ones before. Like, there's some
Condé
incredible,
Nast, I saw a thing.
yeah, there's some incredible stuff out there because they're getting a lot really well known for these restaurants and these chefs that are doing some incredible things. And there's a ton of fish, scallops.
Mariscos.
I'm like, what is that word? Seafood. Mariscos. Yeah, there's a ton of seafood there, and they're using all these local ingredients and local things. And we were blown away. And one of the restaurants that almost every single person hands down recommended was Deckman's. And it's at this family-owned farm vineyard. It has wine tasting there. They have a little market. I don't remember if they have olive oil. I can't remember if that one does,
I
but
don't remember,
one thing that's worth mentioning is that this is something we didn't know. A few of the places don't do wine tasting during the week. And so if you're going just for wine tasting, not just to go to the restaurants and go to, buy a bottle of wine or whatever, some of the places you might want to check if you want specifically wine tasting, because they were only open Saturday and Sunday. One of the first places we went was Lechuza. It's just a small vineyard, really, really beautiful little patio. The little dog came running up to us, and we walked up, and the owner was they just have like a guest house on property that they stay when they're there taking care of the vineyard, and he ran over and talked to us and said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I don't do wine tasting during the week just because." And we spoke in English because he was a white, like, I don't know, English speaking guy.
A gringo.
Gringo. Yeah, I'm like, what's the word for that?
We're not afraid to say that,
Yeah,
right?
he was a gringo. So he's just said, huge busy month. They had to even turn off their phone because this festival brings in,
Yeah, he
I
said he
mean,
just stopped receiving
he
calls.
just,
He's like, I'm
yeah.
over it.
There's like a paella festival. I don't think it would be an ideal month for me to normally go. I will say though, not one place felt busy. So I don't know if it's just busy where those events are, but like we had Deckman's to ourselves, which this place has.
We were there right when they opened, but
No, but even 4 or 5 o'clock, like,
yeah, it wasn't super packed yet.
Yeah, so Lechuza was a great one. We really are excited to go back. He invited us back. He said Saturday, Sunday they always do tasting. So just kind of something to maybe take note. But El Morgar is where we started, and that's where Deckman's is. And so we just walked in, and they had a seat for us, which, oh my God, I was so excited because I was really nervous we weren't going to get to go there. I had really wanted to go for dinner, and I just couldn't get an email back. The funny thing is, I don't think I told you this because I didn't have cell service. She had actually emailed the hostess once someone canceled. She emailed me and she's like, "You guys have dinner reservations 5 p.m. Just yeah, just reply back." And so it's good to know that somewhere that has a 3 month waiting list, like she said, a lot of times people drop off and you could get a reservation.
But
But
from like 1 to 3, well, I think they open at 1, like that first couple hours,
yeah,
they're pretty,
people say 1 to 3, you can usually get
you can
in
just walk
there.
in,
Yeah,
yeah.
and it's
But then
be
after 3 or 4, forget it.
Yeah.
3 months waiting list.
It's a gorgeous view. Kind of like it's almost like it's funny because it's like
It's on
casual.
a farm,
It's casual, but it's like super high end at the same
It's
time.
really casual, but it's super nice.
Yeah. And the chef and his crew like are all out in this little outdoor cocina just cooking away, and it was really cool. And now at this point, everyone's speaking Spanish. So, like, he's speaking Spanish to everyone. It's fun hearing him yell out orders. And our server was from
Venezuela.
Venezuela. And I caught that right away. I knew he was not from
You could
Mexico.
tell his accent was very different.
It was remind me of Lalo. Like, he had.
More Latin
Yeah, it
central.
was just. Yeah, it wasn't. It definitely wasn't Mexico. And so he was great, and we just sat down and we said to recommend whatever the chef recommended, And they do the five, or they do courses there.
Yeah, it's called degustación, which means tastings.
Okay.
And I loved what actually the owner of Lechuza said. He said, look, just go there and tell them to feed you.
Yeah.
Don't even question it. Just the food is world class. It's some of the best food in the world. And just go say, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Just give me food.
Yeah, they get handed us a menu, and I wish I would have like stared at the menu better, because it was pretty amazing how they wrote out everything.
It was all handwritten.
It was all handwritten in Spanish, and I would have just loved to sit there and read it for hours, but yeah. I was also starving. So they
eyes are getting a little cross-eyed, yeah. Starting to get so dizzy.
They had the tasting menu. He mouthed everything off, and honestly, I didn't understand anything he said except Helado. He said that the last course was basil and strawberry Helado, and basil was easy, and then he said fresas, you know. But I didn't hear the five courses, which are totally worth noting, were oysters.
Ostras.
Scallops.
Vieiras. It's hard to say.
Quail.
Coronis.
Oh, was that quail?
Mm-hmm. Coronis.
Suckling pig.
This is an interesting one. Lechon asado. Lechon asado.
Okay.
Or cerdo. Like we were like, cerdo is pig. So we were just saying pig.
Right, right.
Lechon asado is like suckling pig.
And then the basil and strawberry helado. And so he mouthed everything off, and I went, okay, sounds good. And I think we decided just to share, because we wanted to order something else. And so it was plenty, I thought, for the tasting.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't there salad in there too? Tomatoes and something?
No. That was the scallops.
Oh,
the
right.
The scallops
okay.
was on it.
Yeah.
But, oh, it was amazing. So we were kind of nervous because both of us have really avoided oysters.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this sounds crazy to some people because people
love oysters.
Love oysters,
yeah.
But it was a texture thing for
irony,
probably both of us.
Yeah. I had
but
not
we like
a great
mussels.
Experience.
We like mussels and yeah. We like...
The funny thing he said, he was saying, you know, it's like the fresh taste of the sea.
Yeah.
And living by the sea, I'm like, sometimes it doesn't taste that fresh. Sometimes it doesn't smell that great, the ocean there. I'm not sure about this, man. Like, I'm not
like,
really.
I fully agree. Yeah, sometimes I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Sea? Because, like, I mean, have you swallowed some ocean water? Like, it's not
and,
always
and
good.
And there was no. So, okay. So we should also preface that the food there is gourmet, right? And what I mean by that is that you're not going to get horseradish and cocktail sauce, right? Unless like they made the cocktail sauce themselves and it's some special twist on it, or they.
I
grew
thought you were
going
to say it's gourmet just because everything's small. That always to me is like gourmet. It is. They're small.
They're smaller plates.
But they're rich. But, everything's rich.
Yeah, and there was five of them. I mean, it clearly was enough food. But the point is like, you don't go there and expect anything like you've ever had. Right, like the oysters there, I'm sure we won't find oysters served that way anywhere else,
Diego,
or very few places in the world.
In San Diego, I always get invited to Oyster Fest, and I just like eating oysters in the middle of a hot summer day, like
and drinking
just
outside.
Sounds like,
oh, yeah,
so,
it just doesn't sound.
And I will say, like I had one oyster, it was fresh tasting. It tasted like the ocean. It had a salty taste. I can't say I wanted 10 more though. Like, I don't know if it's going to be something.
I had the other two.
Yeah.
And
it definitely was.
They were big.
It probably didn't help that. Guess what you said right when they came out? Like, who says that?
What did I say?
You said it just like tastes just like a loogie or something like that.
I did say that because that was my other experience that I wanted to spare people from hearing, but
what you shared with me right before I ate it, so I was a little disturbed after that, but
but weren't you, I mean, it was nothing like that. I mean, this was incredible.
No, it was good. It was, yeah,
the flavors. I don't know how he does that. He
just almost, I'm just not a bit, I just don't think I'm, I don't like the raw.
I would
know.
Totally do oysters again, or I'll say this, like if I'm out at dinner and somebody gets oysters and we're at a nice place that I know has good,
you wouldn't
oysters,
shy away from it now.
I don't know if I would say, yeah, I'll partake with you in a dozen oysters and have six of them, but I'll try one or two, you know, if it's good. But I'm like, so I'm warming up, you know?
Yeah.
Still no mushrooms, but everything else I'm good with. Yeah.
Yeah, so the lunch was incredible, and it was really good because I there was only a few parts where we switched to English for ordering and stuff. And I mean, that was the goal, was to speak as much Spanish as possible.
Yeah, like we were able to ask for things and kind of communicate in Spanish, but then when we want to talk about quail or scallops, like we didn't know the words for those things, so it was like what
they
is.
They had a board up, and I was really excited because everything was written a lot of places, which always helps me. If I see something written, I can remember it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, like the menu. And
yeah.
I had wine there. Did you have wine there, or did you have
a beer? Well, I wanted to mention that too because, yeah, we both had wine, the Mogor wine, and it was great. I forget what kind it was.
I think it was a cab or...
I think it was maybe a blend or something, yeah. but it was interesting because they only had one red, and I think they had two whites or something, and they were all made there. It's a vineyard as well.
Well, because that place wasn't doing tastings that day,
mm-hmm,
because they get such an influx of people on the weekend.
But I had asked him, because I had saw other people with beer, I asked him about their beer. And I don't think it's them, but in that region, there's a brewery, and I looked this up, called Agua Mala, which is like bad water, I guess. And Agua Mala, they make, you know, craft beers, things we're used to drinking here in Southern California. And I had an IPA from them, and this is the interesting thing, is about how you order an IPA.
In Mexico?
Yeah, because in Spanish, they say, or... You know, from different people I know from different countries, like Lalo is one, and then a couple other people, they would say IPA. Almost like if you were trying to pronounce it as a word, where here we say IPA, the letters individually, because it stands for something. It's an acronym. It's not a word that's shortened or something like that. But down there, I think when they, in Mexico anyways, when they first started getting craft beers, they didn't understand that it was a different... That it was an acronym, so they say IPA commonly. So when I was asking for a beer, I said IPA, and he kind of laughed, being from Venezuela, and I think he also maybe lived in the States or something. And so he knew IPA, but he was kind of laughing because I was ordering it that way. But yeah. But it was, I think for that area, that's probably how you normally would hear people order it.
Yeah. Was it good?
It was incredible. Oh, I was really? Totally blown away.
Because remember when you got beer when we were in Tulum and like...
Oh, God. Only... you know, just generally, I'll say this is... I mean, it's hard, right? But like, we are so spoiled here. Southern California.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll just say San Diego itself is one of the top beer cities in the country, probably in the world. And it's really hard when you go other places to drink whatever normal local stuff, because a lot of times it's just not that great. Not to be... you know, big-headed about it, but it's just true. And so I was blown away at how good this beer was. And I was like, man, so I went up and looked, I'm like, how can I get it? How can I order it? And I'm like, I don't even know how. We'll have to like go down there and smuggle it back or something that.
Yeah. But we bought a bottle of wine. We should have bought a beer.
it was so good. And it's funny too, because we were at a friend's party or the following day, and I was talking to some other guys that are actually brewers here. They're kind of home brewers and stuff, and they were really kind of looking at me cockeyed, like, Mexico beer was good?
Right.
And I go, I know. Mexico beer, generally not.
Well, because people think of Pacifico. Right, and
Corona.
Like Corona.
Yeah. Things that don't have flavor, whatever, right?
They're good with tacos on a hot day.
Like,
by the
it's
beach.
Only good if you, you know, douse it in five limes.
Yeah.
And like, that's not a good beer, right?
Right.
But you know, for a lot of people, whatever, it's, you know, you teach their own. But point being, like, for somebody that loves craft beer, I was really impressed.
Yeah.
And I would love to have more Agua Mala in my life.
So we'll go back to that.
Yeah.
And I liked all the, I thought like it was really cool too. Like, it wasn't just inundated with tourists that were speaking English. It was...
I think we were the only people that were...
speaking English.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when we would switch over, I mean, there was lots of really fancy Mexican ladies coming down there with their hats and their... It was really fun. And that is something, again, like that I really loved and to take note of is it is fancy down there. Like, dressed to impress. It's not wear your flip-flops and jean shorts. Like, it's definitely
it's not TJ or Rosarito where you're just chill, nobody cares.
Everyone's wearing dresses.
You know, I want to mention too that at Deckman's, like, it wasn't super cheap, right? This isn't like a cheap place to eat. Like you think of Mexico, no. Maybe it's cheap. Mm-mm. But it wasn't crazy expensive either.
Right. It wasn't like if you got the same thing and it was the restaurant of the day or the year in New York, mm-hmm. it would be the prices would be different.
Right. Yeah. You're not going to go spend $200 a person, right? Which is like what you would probably expect for that same kind of food and same kind of quality experience here in the United States somewhere. Literally, it's that good. And I mean, I don't know what we got out of there, but it was very reasonable, I would say, for what you got. So it's not cheap.
We did figure out how much it was.
I think it was like $130, but that included a $40 bottle of wine.
Oh, yeah, because we bought a bottle of wine.
So it was like $90.
And there you buy water, just like in Europe, you buy a bottle of water.
Yeah, right. So we had a bottle of water, we each had two drinks, and we had that 5-course meal that we split.
And we got bone marrow.
We got an extra added thing of bone marrow.
He recommended the bone marrow.
So, I mean, all of that said, that's probably less than you would pay for that just same amount of food at like a decent restaurant in a big city.
And they were so sweet because I must have mentioned for anniversary or something. And they have this tradition, I don't know what the word for it is, but they have...
Costumbre?
I guess, yeah. Mm-hmm. They
it's a custom.
They have a spoon, a fork, and a knife charm. They're like these little silver charms. Mm-hmm. And they gifted us, I think we got the knife. They gifted us the knife and they said...
We'll put a photo on the page. You can go check it out.
Yeah, they said, so you'll have to come back. You have to collect them all. And I was like, oh, that's so cool.
I would love to do that, yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Being a bit hot.
Yeah.
And having... Yeah. But it was fantastic.
Oh, the weather?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was so... Well, I know, I'm a lizard, though.
Yeah, you...
I could... It was... There was like a breeze. It was actually nice that
you don't have
huge
the built-in
tree.
Wetsuit like me.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No, I thought it was so beautiful there. It was great.
Fantastic.
And then we had a little time, so we ended the day over at... Do you remember that place that we went to after Adobe?
Adobe Guadalupe?
Yeah, Adobe. I think it was just Adobe Guadalupe, not Adobe de Guadalupe, was it?
Right, Adobe Guadalupe.
Adobe Guadalupe. Right. And that one was down the dirt road, and you kind of go past...
This is the one that was a bit hard to find.
There's 40 other vineyards down that road.
Yeah.
And this place is super cool because they have a bed and breakfast. They have horses. I think they're equestrian
It's like a whole experience going there.
Because
you go stay there, and there's only like 4 couples that stay there with you or something.
This is another family-owned one that they rent out the house.
Right.
And so you only can rent out... She told us how many places they had.
Yeah, it was a very small number.
For like $240 a night or something.
Which isn't crazy.
You get your wine tasting, the restaurant,
The wine tasting there is in the cellar.
They give it to the wine tasting in the cellar if you stay with them. You have the horses and stuff. So that's kind of a cool spot.
Let's talk about Jenny riding horses.
I do not ride horses anymore. I mean...
Why is that, honey?
I just don't enjoy them or something. I don't know.
Horses are beautiful. What do you mean?
They are beautiful, but I mean, when I go visit my mom, she now lives in Montana, I get forced to like ride them because she just makes me.
We can tell a whole episode about that next time.
There's just very few things I feel completely uncomfortable, and a horse is one of them. Like, they're just a very powerful animal, and...
Yeah, you're not really in control.
No, yeah. So, besides the fact Adobe Guadalupe has horses, they're very beautiful from afar. I like to take photos. But, yeah, I don't need to schedule any riding. Mm-hmm. But that was great going there because they were one of the ones that had a tasting for us. So, I think we tasted three or four different wines. And
Four.
Was it? Yeah. And...
Raphael was a good one.
Yeah.
They were all good, but that one was like...
Yeah, and they were great.
Stuck out.
As if we hadn't eaten enough food.
Oh my God.
Because we were so full. Like, I think we even grabbed breakfast. Like, we had huevos rancheros.
Oh, that's right. So before Deckman's, literally like an hour before or less, we ate a meal.
Yeah.
Because we just thought everything was closed. We didn't know when we were going to get a chance to eat again. So we just ate.
Yeah,
and then we went
hungry.
To Deckman's like... Oh, they're open.
And then we go to Adobe
Guadalupe.
Like,
I'm not going
to
say no.
Well, and then we go to Adobe Guadalupe and we drink wine and, you know, you need more food. And they have a really great little outside area and a food truck. And the food truck had such good food. It was so good. And she had just made this...
Agua fresca.
And it was like pineapple and parsley. Remember how like weird that was? And so after the wine, then that instead of water, I got that. And we just got a few little tasting stuff, but I was so full after Valle. Like, I drank and ate way too much. But the good thing, I didn't drink too much because we didn't go, I think it was not having those two tastes, like only having one taste. Like, we technically only had one tasting.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because we had...
And we had far more food.
Far more food, yeah. So, you know, sometimes it just depends on how much...
We should put a little disclaimer. So for people that really enjoy wine tasting and get into it and enjoy drinking a lot and don't want to have to worry about driving, there are many places, many companies that you can take a tour. So if you're not from this area and you come here, what you can do if you want to go there, you can fly to San Diego, stay in San Diego if you want, and get on a tour that leaves from San Diego, takes you down there, takes you to all the wineries, takes you to the places to eat. You get back by
6:30 p.m.
Yeah, and then you come back, and then you get to stay in San Diego. So mm-hmm. for people that are interested, that are listening to this, there are options here that don't involve what we did, right? We live here, and it's not far, and we don't really drink a ton, so it's whatever, right? For us, it was a pretty chill thing. But I just, you know, disclaimer for people that do want to kind of really indulge, that's totally doable as well.
I actually want to take one of the tours. There's a couple local ones that I really want to try out, just because that reason. Like, I want to go check out ones that they recommend and be able to really mm-hmm. indulge into the tasting. This one was a little bit different, but yeah, it was so incredible. It was really fun, and we'll be back. And that's why we kind of wanted to do a whole episode on it, just because it is somewhere I want to take Jack down there. That was another thing, really wanting to see how it was, how mellow it was. And there's so many places that have really great open areas that a toddler can run. You could bring a baby, even if they're in. Mm-hmm. It's very picnic style. A baby style. Would be
easy, yeah.
Baby's really easy. Toddler, you know. I think there's some places that probably kind of frown upon the kid experience, but even Deckman's had a kid there.
I feel like everyone's so friendly.
Well, it depends. It depends on what time of day and stuff. But
Like if you're at Deckman's and it's like prime time and the kitchen's going and people are running around like crazy, yeah, of course you don't want a kid running around. Not even because it's bothersome, but because they might get hurt, right? Someone may trip on them and spill, you know, hit them with a burning frying pan or something, right? Like, very dangerous. So.
Yeah, so it really just depends. But there's a couple places that I definitely want to go back with take Jack. Like, I want to go to that one place that it's like these little cabins. Not the ones that you...
Encontro?
No. Those ones are really... Encontro is like really... like romantic and fancy. Yeah. It has an infinity pool. And then Cuatros Cuatros is like your glamping. But there's this other one. I think it's called Casa Mayor or Casa Mayor. Like, I can't remember the name of it.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll include it in the show notes. But that one's has kind of this little like cabin-like feel. And it's really great for kids because you get your own little casita cabin. Mm-hmm. Plus there's a picnic area. And like I was saying earlier, a lot of them have their own vineyard on site and restaurant even, or, you know, so you can kind of stay at one place and then loop around. I think also too, if I went down there again, I would just stay. We ended up staying back up at Club Moreno, which is in Rosarito, just because the accommodations were pretty hard to come by because of Paella Festival or just
Vendimia.
I don't know why that word's so hard for me to say. Vendimia.
Vendimia.
I mean, it's when I look at it, it's hard to say, but it's like not that hard of a word to say.
Yeah, like Vieja. That's hard Vendimia. For me to say for scallops. It's like V-I-E-I-R-A.
It's just there's like the pronunciation.
Three vowels in a row. I don't buy it.
Yeah. Anyways, because of that festival.
We'll call the language people and figure out what's wrong with that.
Because of that festival, Valle was pretty busy. So a couple of the places that I wanted to stay were booked. So we stayed just at our friend's place in Club Moreno, which amazing surf break. But
we'll do a whole nother show on surfing.
Oh my God, it was incredible. But getting back to what I was saying was I would stay in Ensenada or somewhere by there just because it is, I didn't realize how close it was. I mean, I'd read it was close. Yeah, it's
like 15 minutes.
I mean, maybe 10. Like it was super close. So if you want to stay in like a city scene or you want to go out dancing at night or something like that.
Yeah, so Ensenada is a big city, has a lot, I mean, for Mexico, for Baja, it's a big city. And lots of stuff, lots and lots of places, lots of stuff to check out. We'll have to go do a trip down there sometime and just do Ensenada. But, you know, you could stay there if you wanted to, go to Valle, come back, totally chill, you know, or take a tour from San Diego, all that kind of stuff. So Valle is very accessible. from a number of different locations.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm sure you can. Can you fly into Ensenada?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I know I took a cruise to Ensenada. I think I told
you that,
right?
It's a popular cruise destination.
Yeah, there was a cruise ship there when we pulled through. And I was like, I guess cruises still go here. But I, you know, when we went there for a cruise, like, I don't know if it was, I mean, it was years ago. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even, I think I was just 21. And it was, maybe it wasn't that many years ago then.
It was like four years
it was
ago,
like
honey?
4 years ago.
Yeah.
But that we pulled in and I just remember it like smelled, it's a port town. And then like we went down to the
smelled
main
like
street.
Smelled like the fresh ocean that, yeah, you, fresh get, ocean that you get in the oyster.
Yeah, no kidding. But like, I don't know. And then we pulled in, I was like, oh, Ben, let's go check out Ensenada. And you totally did like you pulled my dad. We pulled in and he's like, I don't know this place. Let's turn around. Like,
no. Come on. Don't sell me short like that. We pulled in after a full day of eating and drinking, like our faces, like we couldn't even like put any more.
We were like rolled
out
alcohol.
Of yeah. We were so stuffed. And I'm thinking, oh, cool, let's go check it out. Because I'd never been to Ensenada.
And it was like Tijuana again.
Well, I mean, it was like a big city. And you roll into it and you're like, oh my gosh, this place goes on forever. And you're like, after just the traffic and everything, as soon as we got in there, and I was just like, no, this isn't going to work. Let's we're going to go back to the condo on the beach and just chill, you know, sit in the hot tub for a little bit and relax.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, our day's done here. We're not adding on. Like, you don't just add on it's like you're in New Jersey and you're like, yeah, let's just go pop over to New York City and do that real quick. Like, no, you need to sit down and think about that first.
I know this is your level-headedness, but my like, let's go check out as many places as we can.
Yeah, we'll talk about Paris some other time.
Oh yeah, when I try to definitely put it on your list to go to. It's highly recommended.
We'll be back.
Stamp of approval.
We'll do more wine tastings, do a tour, tell
sure.
more stories.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe maybe Drew Deckman will hear this and invite us back sometime or something. Who knows?
There you go. All right, you guys. We can't wait to see you back here next time. And ciao.
Gracias por escuchar y nos vemos el próximo episodio.
Adios. Hey, guys. Thanks so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed our trip to Valle and we inspire you to maybe check it out someday. We will include pictures and links to vineyards and places to stay in our show notes, which you can find at breakingespanol.com. Be sure to subscribe as we have new episodes out weekly. And if you want to keep in touch, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram under Breaking Espanol. Leave us a comment. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, ciao.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.